All right, so tell us who you are and what you do at Microsoft Research.
Great. I'm Tom Ball. I'm a principal researcher and research manager here, and we have an area called Research in Software Engineering. That's about 32 people working in programming languages, formal methods, compilers, all sorts of areas of software engineering, and I manage that group, co-manage it with Ben Zorn.
And my name is Michal Moskal. I'm a researcher here, and I currently work mostly on TouchDevelop, which is a development environment that lets you program on a tablet or a phone or a laptop if you want to do that. And I've been one of the ICFP contest organizers.
And so tell us about this contest. It's a little different from most contests.
Yeah, I think it's probably good to back up and say what ICFP is first. ACM, the Association for Computing Machinery, has a number of flagship conferences in programming languages. And ICFP is the International Conference on Functional Programming. One of the things they do every year is they have a programming contest. And what's unique about that is they open it to all comers, no matter what the sort of technologies they have.
Yeah, the major idea there is to see, you know, to kind of look at the idea that you need to always pick the right language for the task. And actually the major prize in that contest is essentially bragging rights, that you can call your language, the one that you used, as a discriminating tool of choice, as a tool of choice for discriminating hackers.
So you can use whatever programming foundation you want to?
Right. So they're very open-minded about it, which is really cool. And you can bring any technology really to bear. I mean, if you were able to assemble a team of people to just execute your program manually, I guess, you know, you could try to do that. But generally the contests require automation, so you generally need to program.
And who is the typical contestant?
You would have more input on that.
Yeah, so it's actually all sorts of programmers. I guess it's either people who work full-time in academia, there's like a large chunk of those, but then there are also, you know, even high school students, college students, professional programmers, all sorts of programmers, essentially.
What is the task that they have to accomplish? Is it different every year?
Yes.
Yes, so this contest has been running for 16 years now. And
16?
Yeah, I think so.
Wow,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
In this year, we decided to... we developed the task, and the task was to do program synthesis. So essentially the idea there is that you get a number of input-output pairs of what the program is supposed to do, right? So you get the input for the program, you get the output for the program, and then you are supposed to guess the program. So we have a secret program, and then you are supposed to guess it by just looking at the input and output. And then we essentially, you give us the program, we compare them, and we see if they match. And if they don't, we give you an example where they don't match. And then you kind of repeat the process. So that's the task. You need to come up with a program that guesses such programs.
So the contest allows people to group into teams. What's the typical size of the teams?
I think the rules say that it's up to 20 people, mm-hmm. And there were teams as big as 20, but I think the average was two people, because we have 500 team and about 1,000 participants. But the winning teams were actually much bigger. They were like 5-6 people.
And how does one become involved with this? Do you have to go anywhere? Is it just all online?
Right. So these are generally done remotely around the world. The way this contest was set up, you just queried essentially this cloud service that Michal and Nikhil set up to ask questions and to get responses about the programs you were trying to synthesize. So it was completely done over the web. We did not run the programs. They didn't submit the programs. The contest was, you know, you have to interact with this web server and guess the secret program, and you know, we'll grade you. So the other part is, I think, an interesting part of the contest. I mean, how do you set up a programming and contest in such a way that people around the world can do it in whatever language they want, and then you have to pick a winner. So you have to also have an evaluation criteria and function. So I think part of the novelty of what Michal and Nikhil did was to really figure out a way to completely automate it so that people could run anywhere in the web. They could they could submit their queries, and then we could judge everything automatically. So this built on a whole stack of technology we've developed in Microsoft mm-hmm. Research that made this possible. Other contests, other years have had I don't know some level of automation, perhaps yeah. Manual grading also that people mm-hmm. submit source code for inspection, or things get they have a third party run the program. I don't know the details, but here this year, what was I think interesting was it was completely automated. As the Azure service ran, we could see in real time people submitting queries, and we could see the teams that were ahead.
So yeah, so I mean, the past year, people would either at the end of the contest submit like a virtual machine to run or a program to run, and then the whoever was running the contest, they had trouble getting all those things really to run on their system and so forth. Or they would have a server somewhere, just like we did, except that usually the problem would be that there would be way too many people trying to access this server. So this year we were trying really hard to make that thing scalable. And that's actually where we developed a service in Windows Azure, and it was, you know, it was scalable up to about 256 cores or something. We didn't really need that much. But actually the contestants, they were also saying that they were really impressed by the fact that everything was running so smoothly, nothing crashed.
So it's a testament to Windows Azure, but also there was this problem of how you generate problems that are hard enough, challenging, and that start simple and get harder, and are not so impossible that you know you turn off people, right? So part of this synthesis challenge was to actually automate the creation of these secret programs that would reside on the server, and for that we used a whole bunch of technology from our group, namely the Z3 automated theorem prover and a number of other technologies.
Yeah, so Z3 was also used for grading the solutions and for comparing essentially the secret program against the one that the contestants submitted. And Nikhil brought this kind of the translation between the programs and the formulas that they were sent to Z3. And actually, it's kind of interesting. We used like six or so different programming languages, really in the spirit of that contest to run the thing, right? So that web service was written in TypeScript, which is this language that is typed and translated to JavaScript. And there were some like website parts, which is in just plain JavaScript. Then I wrote this like front end in TouchDevelop. Then Nikhil wrote this all that translator of the kind of heavy lifting but the translation in F#, and then Z3 is in C++, so it's all those languages in there.
The other thing to say is that the idea for the contest was actually inspired by some other work in Microsoft Research for automated test generation and program synthesis. So there were two projects that had previously gone on that sort of gave rise to this contest idea. So we have a website called PEX for Fun, and in that we've got a set of secret programs, and the goal is for students to write C# programs, for example, that sort an array. And so what we have is the technology to compare automatically their C# program to our secret program, which hopefully is a correct sorting program, and then show them differences. And this is, again, using sort of all our research technology, including mm-hmm. the constraint solver. So what we did for this contest was actually not synthesize C# programs, but programs that were in a much more restricted language, because we needed to scope the problem formulation so that it was much more achievable. But I think what was interesting from the contest was the winners sort of outdid, I think, the best yeah. known research results for program synthesis. Maybe yeah. you want to say a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I mean, we, you know, before the contest, we kind of checked around what are the biggest programs that one can synthesize automatically, right? And, you know, we're kind of getting the results like 16, 18 instructions, right? It's a really difficult problem, right? So you can only really synthesize small programs. And if the program gets like one instructions longer, then the problem gets like 10 times harder. So, you know, we were kind of thinking, those are smart people, we go up to 30. 16 up to 30, that's like thousands of times harder. So nobody will be able to do those. Well, and the contest runs, we're kind of looking at the solution, and we're looking at those people that don't miss a single problem. So they had like 5 minutes for every single problem, and they would just submit solutions. And you're starting to think, maybe we come up with some more problems. Actually, it's a...
Well, there was just one team that really caused this problem. I mean, not problems, but that was really pushing the boundary, right?
Yeah, but I mean, the other teams are also really good.
So then
we came up with more difficult, challenging problems, and yes, then they at least failed on some of them, so we actually could distinguish between different teams.
And so obviously the most important thing for the winner is bragging rights, but what else do they get?
They got some sort of money prize. I think it was $1,000 for the winning team and maybe $250 for the second or something.
And it's probably also important to them that their programming language gets a little notoriety too, right?
Right.
Yeah, exactly. So the winning team was actually using, I think, 7 different programming languages.
Yeah.
And I don't exactly, this is like, there was Java, C Sharp, PHP, Shell, Ruby, and something else.
And they did heavy parallelization.
Haskell, yes.
Well, they use Haskell, wow. So they did use a functional
language.
That's right.
So does it pay to have a breadth of knowledge across a lot of different programming languages?
I'm sure.
Yeah, the winning team deployed a cloud-based solution to parallelize, they did very smart search for these programs, but they also made use of Big Iron and really parallelized.
Yeah. Great. Well, thanks for talking to us.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, sure thing.